Blog Talk Radio.
The first station, Jesus is condemned to death.
Like sheep, each one going his own way. The Lord has laid the guilt of us all on you. We hide our faces not to see the stripes upon your back. Though harshly treated, you open not your mouth. You wear a crown woven from thorns and made of gold. Without a sound, our punishment you bear. He was found guilty, and so we think of him as stricken, afflicted like God.
That's Donna Corey Gibson, Catholic artist.
We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
Welcome to Deeper Truth. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. And today is Ash Wednesday, February 2023. It's also the feast of the chair of St. Peter. And I will put out the history of Lent. Our Father, who art in heaven, sacred is your word. Your kingdom come. Your words be heard on earth as they are in heaven. Give us today your sacred word. Forgive our neglect of it in the past, as we forgive those who neglect us. Encounter with you each time we delve into the scriptures, for your presence, your power, and your glory are ever present among us, now and forever. Father, we beg your blessing for the right to life, the unborn, the weak, the sick, and the old, all who are finding themselves being targets of the vicious culture of death. That our Lord Jesus bless and protect all who stand up for the Christian dignity of persons, and those who are traveling down death's highway by their involvement in any way with either the contemporary death culture, selfism, relativism, or any of the New Age errors of our times. That God envelop our culture with his divine protection and help us both individually and as a nation to true enlightenment, conversion, and repentance of ourselves and our culture. Help us to turn from our national sin of abortion and return to and once again become a Christian nation on the narrow road, that is, the path to becoming a nation and culture under God. Amen. That your divine Son became man and died for our sins, and that he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe these and all the truths which the Holy Catholic Church teaches, because you have revealed them, who can neither deceive nor be deceived. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. Take this opportunity to weed out the things that are not necessary and to strengthen those things that are.
Waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry, and he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Here am I, Lord, I come to sacrifice or offering you wished not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. holocausts or sin offerings you sought not. Then said I, behold, I come. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. In the written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will. O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. I announced your justice in the vast assembly. I did not restrain my lips, as you, O Lord, know. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will.
Our daily readings. February 22nd, 2023, Ash Wednesday. Reading 1. Even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts, not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. For gracious and merciful is he, slow to anger, rich in kindness, and relenting in punishment. Perhaps he will again relent and leave behind him a blessing, offerings and libations for the Lord your God. In assembly, gather the people, notify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom quit his room, and the bride her chamber, between the porch and the altar. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare, O Lord, your people, and make not your heritage a reproach with the nations ruling over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Third, to concern for his land and took pity on his people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Responsorial Psalm. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned, my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. Open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Second reading. Brothers and sisters, we are ambassadors for Christ. As if God were appealing through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he was made, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Working together then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I heard you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The word of the Lord. You hear his voice. Harden not your hearts. Excuse me. The gospel of the Lord, the gospel according to Saint Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. Give alms. Do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, as in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received the reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Chair of Saint Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whoever and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Feast of the Chair of St. Peter celebrates the papacy and St. Peter as the first bishop of Rome. St. Peter's original name was Simon. He was married with children and was living and working in Capernaum as a fisherman when Jesus called him to be one of his 12 disciples. Jesus bestowed to Peter the special place among the apostles. He was one of the three who were with Christ on special occasions, such as the transfiguration of Christ and the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was the only apostle to whom Christ appeared to on the first day after the resurrection. Peter, in turn, often spoke on behalf of the apostles. One of the main reasons for celebrating the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter is to celebrate the unity of the Christian Church. Another important reason is that the chair symbolizes the authority of St. Peter and his dedication towards building a strong foundation for the Church. And so the feast commemorates Christ choosing Peter to sit in his place as the servant of authority of the whole Church. After the last weekend of pain, doubt, and self-torment, Peter hears the good news. The Feast of the Chair of St. Peter is a commemoration of the contributions of the Apostle to the Christian Church. It celebrates his authority and endless efforts to build a strong community around the teachings of Christ, and has been celebrated since the earliest times in the Christian era. St. Peter was known to hold the keys to the kingdom of heaven, entrusted to him by Jesus himself. For this and many other reasons, St. Peter became a celebrated figure in Christianity. Angels at the tomb say to Magdalene, "Has risen, go tell his disciples and Peter." John relates that when he and Peter ran to the tomb, the younger outraced the older, then waited for him. Peter entered and saw the wrappings on the ground, the headpiece rolled up in a place by itself. John saw and believed. But he adds a reminder. They did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead, John chapter 20, verse 9. The slowly exploding, impossible idea became reality. Jesus appeared to them as they waited fearfully behind locked doors. "Peace be with you," he said, John chapter 20, 21. And they rejoiced. The Pentecost event completed Peter's experience of the risen Christ. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and began to express themselves in foreign tongues and made bold proclamation as the Spirit prompted them. Only then can Peter fulfill the task Jesus had given him. "Once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers," Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Originally, the Feast of the Chair of Peter was celebrated on January 18th and February 22nd. January 18th was when the saint gave his first sermon in Rome, while February 22nd was when he gave his first sermon in Antioch. He at once becomes the spokesman for the 12 about their experience of the Holy Spirit before the civil authorities who wished to quash their preaching before the Council of Jerusalem, for the community and the problems of Ananias and Sapphira. Excuse me. He is the first to preach the good news to the Gentiles. The healing power of Jesus in him is well attested. The raising of Tabitha from the dead, the cure of the crippled beggar, people carrying the sick into the streets so that when Peter passed, his shadow might fall on them. Even a saint experiences difficulty in Christian living. When Peter stopped eating the Gentile converts because he did not want to wound the sensibilities of Jewish Christians, Paul says, opposed him to his face because he clearly was wrong. They were not on the right road in line with the truth of the gospel, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. At the end of John's gospel, Jesus says to Peter, Amen, amen. I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted, but when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. John chapter 21, verse 18. But Jesus was indicating the sort of death by which Peter was to glorify God. On Vatican Hill in Rome during the reign of Nero, Peter did glorify his Lord with a martyr's death, probably in the company of many Christians. Second century Christians built a small memorial over his burial spot. In the fourth century, the Emperor Constantine built a basilica, which is replaced in the 16th century. St. Peter is revered in the Christian community across the globe and is an important figure when it comes to the history of the Vatican. He is considered as the first pope, and the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter marks the long-standing papacy in Rome since the first century. There were two chairs associated with St. Peter, one kept in St. Peter's Basilica, and the other in the Catacomb of Priscilla. Each of these chairs were revered and celebrated. However, because of St. Peter's Basilica is the final resting place of the Apostle, the ancient oak chair is the one that is referred to as the chair of St. Peter. It is considered a historical treasure and is safely kept in the papal altar of the Basilica. St. Peter's Basilica is free to enter for all, even during Mass. To be a part of the Mass on the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter, you can simply enter the church after a security check. Keep in mind that there is bound to be large crowds of people waiting to get in, so it might take a few hours to bypass the security lines. Pope John XXIII in 1960 tried to initiate the celebration of a universal feast day, which was met with a lot of disapproval. After much speculation, February 22nd was made to be the official date of the feast of the year 1969 and has been marked in the calendar since then. Initially, the chair was kept inside the monastery of St. Martin, after which it was shifted to St. Peter's Basilica, where it sits today. The chair has been studied many times before, the last time being in 1968. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that no tempest may disturb us, for you have set us fast on the rock of the Apostle Peter's confession of faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the city of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And the chair of St. Peter. And thank you, Lord, for establishing your Holy Catholic Church and establishing the papacy, the Bishop of Rome, and the authority, beginning with the apostles, and now their successors. So we pray for Pope Francis, 266th successor. So we pray for him, and we pray for all our clergy. We pray for all the bishops in union with Rome, with your Holy Catholic Church. We pray for all. And thank you, Lord, for establishing your holy sacraments, giving us untold grace. Thank you, Lord. And so today being Ash Wednesday, I left college in the winter of 1979 and moved south of Branson, Missouri to northern Arkansas to a nearby town, Harrison, Arkansas. I would live there for nearly 5 years before finally signing up with the United States Army. I recall one day in 1980 I received a phone call from a local resident of Harrison, Arkansas, who was not happy with my strong Catholic faith. This gentleman claimed to have been raised a Catholic, went to 12 years of Catholic school, but was now a practicing Jehovah's Witness. His real purpose of calling me was because I defended a local radio host who happened to say Merry Christmas to a caller. A caller responded that she was not celebrating what she thought was a pagan holiday. I responded to the Harrison newspaper and wrote a letter to the editor defending Christmas. This was when I received the phone call. It was not long into the conversation that the gentleman became very impatient. He told me that if I wanted to remain Catholic, I could leave Harrison. He tried to sell me his belief that there was no historical evidence supporting Christmas or Lent. We have covered Christmas fairly exhaustively here on Deeper Truth. So today, because it is Ash Wednesday, I want to share something of the history of Lent. From the earliest times, Christians have walked the steps of our Lord on his way of the cross, the Via Dolorosa, on the way of sorrows. According to the Liber Pontificals, a history of the popes beginning with St. Peter up to the 15th century, a work probably beginning with St. Jerome credits Pope Telephorus, 125 to 136 AD, was establishing the season of Lent. We know that Jesus was crucified on April 3rd, 33 AD, and from that time on the death of the Lord would always be identified with the eighth day, the resurrection from the dead. You can see this depicted at the Vatican, where you see the eight blocks surrounding the obelisk at Vatican City. The early popes utilized Easter to celebrate the Last Supper for the purpose of tying the breaking of the bread, the Mass, with the passion and death of Jesus. From tradition, the Mass has always been seen as a sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Mass. Jesus is not being re-crucified, as some people accuse, but that the command of the Lord, "Do this in memory of me," would be faithfully handed down. The Pope called for a 7-week fast before Easter. Now consider just 92 short years after the death of the Lord. The Pope did not simply dream this up, but was following what tradition had been handed already down. St. Telephorus, for example, followed what his predecessor, Pope Sixtus, 115 to 125, observed, celebrating the Last Supper on Easter Day, as opposed to the traditional Jewish Passover day, the 14th of Nisan. That's what became known to Christians as Good Friday, April 3rd, 33 AD. It was at this point that the gentleman who had called me began to become quiet as I continued. I told him of the early church father, St. Irenaeus of Lyon, who had been a disciple of St. Polycarp, a disciple of St. John the Apostle, that became bishop in modern-day France. St. Irenaeus wrote to Pope St. Victor I, 189 to 199 AD, the first bishop of Rome that came from the Roman province of Africa. The dispute is not only about the day, but also about the actual character of the fast. Some think that they ought to fast for one day, some for two, others for still more. Some make their day last 40 hours on end. Some variation in the observance did not originate in our own day, but very much earlier, in the time of our forefathers. St. Eusebius, History of the Church, Volume 24. St. Irenaeus was responding to the differences between East and West and celebrating Easter practices. During that time, the church was suffering bitter persecutions The Roman persecutions are as follows. The first persecution under Nero, A.D. 67. The second persecution under Domitian in A.D. 81. The third persecution under Trajan, under A.D. 108. The fourth persecution under Marcus Aurelius, A.D. 162. The fifth persecution commencing with Severus, A.D. 192. The sixth persecution under Maximus, A.D. 235. The seventh persecution under Decius, A.D. 249. The eighth persecution under Valerian, in A.D. 257. Brutian, A.D. 274. The tenth persecution under Diocletian, A.D. 303. It wasn't until the Roman Emperor Constantine, who with his Edict of Milan in 313, that gave Christians freedom, that Lent would become more regularized. Contrast this time of persecution suffered by the church with the age of the United States of America, in all its history, is 244 years old, about. Well, that's between 1776 to 2020. So it would be, 247 years old now. Persecutions run about 270 years, just to put this in perspective. And Pope Dionysius of Alexandria, 248 to 264, was the first pope to be given the added title, the Great. Observed by this time a tradition that during Lent, there was no eating of meats on all the Fridays, and Sundays were an absolute fast. This was much more stringent than what we practice today. The Pope also writes in his canonical epistle, AD 260, referring to the 91 fast days, implying that the observance of them had already become an established usage in his time. A gathering of Roman laws, the Codex of Theodosiensis, 312, a collection of laws of the Christian Roman Empire, was explicit in ordering that all actions of laws should cease and the doors of all courts of law be closed during those 15 days, 7 days of Holy Week, and 7 days after Easter. This is an example why anti-Catholics will accuse Constantine of establishing a religion, when in truth he did not. These laws being implemented here were now accommodating what the church was growing through her traditions. At the Council of Nicaea in 325, there were two disciplinary canons that the 300 bishops of the church ruled on. They felt it was important to have two synods in the held every year. One of them concerned the season of Lent, one before the 40 days of Lent. Notice the 40 days? From the earliest days of the church, 40 had a certain value. In the New Testament, we recall that Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights, Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. Notice also that there were 40 days between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. There are so many examples in the Old Testament. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, Exodus chapter 24, verse 18. And Goliath taunted Saul's army for 40 days before David arrived to slay him, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 16. To name a couple. St. Athanasius in 373 in his festal letters beckoned followers to keep a 40-day fast prior to the more intense fasting of Holy Week. Thank you. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, theologian of the early church, 386, in his teaching, very much resembled our current RCIA programs. There were 18 pre-baptismal instructions given to the catechumens during Lent. St. Cyril of Alexandria, Patriarch of Alexandria in 444, in his series of festal letters also noted the practices and duration of Lent, emphasizing the 40-day period of fasting. And finally, Pope Leo, 461, called for the faithful to fulfill with their fast, the apostolic institution of the 40 days. Again, noting that apostolic origins of Lent, by this time, the gentleman who called me on the phone began to yell at me, telling me that if I wanted to remain Catholic, I should leave Harrison, Arkansas. Just continued on. He just rambled on that way. And Pope St. Gregory, the 604, writing to St. Augustine of Canterbury, issued the following rule. We abstain from flesh, meat, and from all things that come from flesh as milk and cheese and eggs. Until the 600s, Lent began a 40th Sunday. But Gregory the Great, 540 to 604, moved it to a Wednesday we now call Ash Wednesday to secure the exact number of 40 days in Lent, not counting Sundays, which were feast days. Gregory, who is regarded as the father of the medieval papacy, is also credited with the ceremony that gives the day its name as Christians came to the church for forgiveness. Gregory marked their foreheads with ashes, reminding them of the biblical symbol of repentance, sackcloth and ashes, and mortality. You are dust, and to dust you will return. Genesis chapter 3:19. Deep into this tradition, I cannot go on here without adding the following scripture. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he cried, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. Then tidings reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he made proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles that neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them cry mightily to God. Yea, let every one turn from his evil way, and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we perish not. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God repented of the evil which he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Relaxed. First Christians were allowed to eat after 3 p.m. by the 1400s, and it was noon. Eventually, various foods like fish were allowed, and in 1966, the church only restricted fast days to Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Recently, the American bishops allowed for the eating of meat on Fridays except Ash Wednesday and Fridays of Lent, if there are reasonable alternatives of sacrifice and remembrance on all Fridays. Here at Deeper Truth, we encourage the practice of eating fish on Fridays. By this time, the gentleman hung up on me, and I never heard from him again. I can only hope that seeds were planted and that he would finally one day return to the one true faith, the Catholic faith. Turn my face to the Lord God, seeking him in prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. So that's the history of Lent. There's a little bit there to it. So if you go to Deeper Truth Radio or Deeper Truth Blog, The Catholic Defender, The History of Lent, it's all right there. And so I would encourage you to take hold of this and to read it and to have it available. And so, and we must remember what Lent is all about. About Jesus. It's all about our holy Catholic faith, but it's all about Jesus and what he did for us, the sacrifice he made for us. And Donna Corey Gibson, that intro song, we'll go ahead and play that one more time and then close.
The first station, Jesus is condemned to death.
Like sheep, each one going his own way. The Lord has laid the guilt of us all on you. We hide our faces not to see the stripes upon your back. Though harshly treated, you open not your mouth. You wear a crown woven from thorns and made of gold. Without a sound, our punishment you bear. He was found guilty, and so we think of him as stricken, afflicted by God. You are what Pilate said. Behold.
Condemned to die. Behold.
We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world.
And let us close as we began. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And today, may our Lent, may we grow. Good day. Pray for America. Make the Mass the center of your life. And pray the Rosary. Pray for our families. And pray for our children. And pray for Pope Francis and all of our clergy. Amen. Good day.